The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee, so recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, dear listeners of today's special from IRIB English Radio, Salam. Welcome. This is another episode with a new topic that is greed in Islamic point of view.
Muhyi al-mumin.
today, Wednesday. Yes, today is 27th of Jamadi Uthani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Day, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of January, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Third, this is verse 35 of chapter at Tawbah from the Holy Quran. We'll listen to it, then we'll learn more about it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يوم يحمى عليها في نار جهنم فتكوى بها جباههم وجنوبهم وظهورهم هذا ما كنزتم لأنفسكم فذوقوا ما كنتم تكنزون.
The day when it will be heated in the fire of hell and seared therewith will be their foreheads, their flanks, and their backs. It will be said, "This is what you hoarded for yourself. So taste what you used to hoard."
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The retribution of amassers of wealth. This holy verse points to one of the chastisement of such people in the next world. It is in that situation that the angels of punishment would tell them that is the same thing that they amassed for themselves in the form of treasures and did not spend it for the deprived in the way of Allah. As a result of their deed, they should taste what they used to treasure and find the evil consequence of it. Once more, this verse emphasizes on this fact that the deeds of human beings will not vanish. The deeds of persons will remain for the next world.
Allahumma ya wasi' al-maghfira, yaghfir li, ya Rab. Allahumma ya wasi' al-rahma.
Greed in the Islamic point of view is the topic of this part. Material inclination arises from uncontrollable greed because of the imaginary happiness that it creates. Greed is considered as a factor which brings misery into the lives of men. As a result, man disregards everything and sacrifices all moral traits in this quest towards gathering wealth until finally the feelings of want become rooted deep in his soul. Dr. Schopenhauer said, "It is rather difficult to define the inclination which are related to acquiring wealth because individual satisfaction varies greatly and there is not a defined scale by which people's want can be judged. Some people are satisfied with the small amounts of money that meet their necessities, while others complain about their unhappiness despite their abundant wealth."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about greed and its consequences from an Islamic point of view. Imam Baqir alayhi salam gave the following description of the greedy man. An example of the greedy man of this world is that of the silkworm. The more silk that is spins around itself, the less of a chance it has to survive until it finally suffocates itself. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Refrain from greed, for those who were before you perished as a result of greed. Greed commanded them to be stingy and they obeyed. It ordered them into alienation and they obeyed. And it commanded them to sin and they sinned. Imam Ali alayhi salam pointed out the misery which results from coveting when he said, avoid greed, for its champion is the chapter of humiliation and exhaustion. Wealth is not everything in man's life, nor does his real happiness lie in collecting money. Nevertheless, many young people make the mistake of believing that money is the most important matter in life. They therefore waste the primes of their life seeking wealth while depriving themselves of everything else. This is a very mistaken way of thinking, and it is one of the reasons behind many people's miseries. We struggle to acquire grand clothes and etc., thinking that they are the ways to happiness, while in fact they only bring disappointment and deprivation to us.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
And the continuation of today's special, What Makes Greedy People Greedy? One of the factors is lack of self-esteem. Lack of self-esteem is the main contributor to greed. When you don't feel good about yourself, you constantly turn to other people to make you feel better. It is an unusual emotion that can only exist in people who are unable to recognize and value what they already have in life, but constantly seek more. This is why they are always searching for ways to get more, so they can contribute to get more things and live as they want. It can be rooted in a fear of not having enough. This might be due to a lack of self-esteem or a fear of not being good enough. Greedy people may also have a compulsive need to acquire and possess things as a way of filling in inner emptiness or seeking validation.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? Doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone. Anything in life, but you know I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
The answer of this question is very important, how to avoid greed. One of the answers will be trying to volunteer or give back in some way. Volunteering is a great way to give back and make a difference in your community. It's also a great way to help others, which helps you feel good about yourself and gives you a sense of purpose. Volunteering can be done through volunteer work at home or abroad, or through helping out with an organization that supports the needs of others outside the scope of your own interests, like animal shelters. You may meet new people who share similar interests as yours, and if not, it's always from just getting involved with something. You can learn new skills like cooking, sewing, or gardening that will come in handy later on down the road.
Now, there's a famous hadith during the time of Prophet Isa, Jesus, that one day he was walking with three of his disciples, companions. and they reached a tree. So then he told them, under this tree there is death. He said, what does he mean, death? They searched, they dug a little, they found treasures, gold. They're like, what does this guy mean? Isa, there's death. This is life, this is not death, right? Gold. So they were three people. Isa said, I'm going to go do something and I'll come back in a couple of hours. So they're three. One of them went to sleep. Two of them were alive. They're like, you know what? We're three people and there's this much amount of gold. If we kill this third guy, right? If we killed this third guy, then we can have all the money for ourselves. Us too. Like, less people to share the gold with. So they liked the idea. So he woke up. He said, I'm going to go get some food for us. So as he was getting the food, they conspired that when he comes, we take the food, we kill him, and we share the gold just between us. Now, what did this guy think? As he was going to get the food, he's like, you know what? If all this gold is just for me, that's much better. I don't have to share it with these two people. So he put some poison in that food. He brought it, yalla, let's eat. As soon as he got there, they took the food, and then they killed him. They sat down, and to sit and eat the food. They ate the food with the poison, they fell and died. All three of them died fighting over that gold. Isa comes back, he sees his three companions are dead, and the gold is untouched. So he revives them. Remember, the Quran says Isa was given a power, a miracle, that he could revive the dead. So he revived them. He told them, didn't I tell you that this is death? This will kill you? That money will kill you, gold will kill you? Why didn't you listen to me? And they said, yes, we should have known better.
All, of course, for this episode of today's special, which will start under the title of greed in Islamic point of view. Inshallah, we continue to know about this topic more and more. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings and have a nice time.
All the deeds we do, we turn to your endless favors, increasing in their flavors. We turn to you in sheer delight, for truth never strong to fight.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, here is a wonderful saying from the Commander of the Faithful and Leader of the Pious, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The most helpless of all persons is he who cannot find a few brothers during his life. But still more helpless is he who finds such a brother but loses him. Thank you.
everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio, for those who seek the truth.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and a very interesting Hadith, which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This Hadith is about hidden polytheism or shirk. As you know, shirk and polytheism refers to the fact of associating a partner with God on a very superficial level. This could be manifested in the form of worshiping idols, but it's not limited to this. Rather, this can take on various other forms, and sometimes these forms can be unknown to the person, meaning the person could not realize that he's actually performing shirk and polytheism and associating somebody with God. So one has to be very careful and meticulous and kind of vigilant over his actions so as not to commit this very grave sin. Of course, some of these very hidden and subtle, delicate forms of polytheism, by performing them, we don't necessarily, exit the religion of Islam and become, desert the religion and become apostates. But ethically speaking, these are things that merit scorn and could even merit sin in certain cases. The idea that, polytheism can be hidden and can be subtle and so delicate that even the person committing them and even others might not realize it, is something that has been reflected in the Holy Quran, where the Quran says, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. And most of them do not believe in Allah without ascribing partners to Him. So here in this verse, we see that Allah says that, most people, there's a certain form of shirk or polytheism that they perform. Whereas we don't see this in people. So obviously this implies that this is something hidden, and very delicate understanding of it requires a certain level of, acumen and discernment. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, when interpreting the verse that we recited, he said, this is in reference to a man's statement. Were it not for so-and-so, I would have surely have perished. Or were it not for so-and-so, I would indeed have been afflicted. Or were it not for so-and-so, my family would be at loss. Do you not see that he has associated a partner to Allah in his kingdom, giving him sustenance and repelling misfortune from him? He was subsequently asked, Imam Sadiq was then asked, the people there, they asked him, What if I were to say this? Were it not for Allah's granting me so-and-so's help, I would have perished. If we word this in this way, would this save us from committing this act of polytheism? The Imam replied, there is nothing wrong with saying things like this. This is okay. If we say it like this, we would be absolved from the sin of hidden polytheism. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at hidden polytheism in the words of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are again with Brother Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Rohullah, and Ali Nasir. Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Welcome.
Wa alaikum salam.
Are you fine, everybody?
Yes, yes.
Inshallah. So, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, we hope, inshallah, you are also safe and sound, happy and wealthy, inshallah. So, today, the same as our previous sessions, we will talk about one of the verses of the Quran. We'll have a short explanation, but the most important point in our class is that we will focus on the tajweed rules practically, inshallah. We'll mention and we'll practice. Then, inshallah, we'll recite the Quran Karim, that ayah, with tajweed rules, okay? So, brothers and sisters, as you're listening, please, inshallah, stay with us till the end of this session. So, today, the ayah that we will talk about is ayah 178 of Surah Ali Imran on page 73. So, brothers and sisters, turn to page 73 of Quran Karim, Surah Ali Imran, ayah 178. First and foremost, let's listen to the recitation once.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا أنما نملي لهم خير لأنفسهم إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما ولهم عذاب مهين.
That was nice recitation. So, now I will read it. We will have a short explanation. Then we'll move on to what? To the important tajweed rules, inshallah. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah Almighty in ayah 178 of Surah Ali Imran says,
وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما ولهم عذاب مهين. Allah Almighty says, let the faithless not suppose that the respite that we grant them is good for their souls. We give them respite only that they may increase in sin. And there is a humiliating punishment for them. Sometimes, Allah Almighty says a very important point here. Sometimes you might see that those who are non-believers, those who are don't care about the Day of Judgment, those who don't care about Allah, about the Ahkam, about anything, okay? Non-Muslims, the kuffar, or even sometimes Muslims, those who don't really care, those who are not religious, okay? You might see them, they have like nice cars, they have nice buildings, they have a lot of fun. They go around the world, they visit different cities, okay? So you might say, oh, lucky them, they are really good, they really enjoy their life. That's the life we should have. God forbid, sometimes the evil, the Satan, okay, comes and tempts us this way. Gives us this kind of thoughts that, look, those who don't care about prayer, okay, those who don't care about fasting, they are so healthy, for example, they have so fun, so much fun, yeah? They wear a lot of different clothes, they fashion in different ways, they eat different foods, energetic foods, okay? They have a lot of money, they have good jobs, right? Yes? They might have like good cars, okay? People might think this way. So then this belief might come to us that, hey, if you want to live a good life, a happy life like them, a healthy life like them, a life with luxurious things, yes? If you want to spend good times, yeah? You must what? You must be the same as them. Don't care about God. Who is God? Day of Judgment. What is Day of Judgment? Come on. Who came from heaven? Who came from hellfire? To tell you, for example, that the Day of Judgment, you will see hellfire, you will have the heaven. Who? Come on. These beliefs are just kind of imaginations or stories that people say. These kind of thoughts will come to you. And this is the beginning of what? The beginning of a big disaster in life. Allah Almighty says what? وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Oh, those who are faithless, okay? They should not think that if they have a lot of fun, if they have a lot of money, if they have a lot of good cars, luxurious life, okay? If they have these things, they should not think that, oh, God is with them and this is for their benefit. خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. It is good for their souls. It's for their good, okay? It's for their benefit. Come on, they are being like in a situation they are, okay, that they think they are having fun, but in fact this is the worst thing for them to happen. Yeah, when they become 80, 90, when they are about to die, they will understand at that moment, wow, what, it's just I don't have any time, I'm about to die, I had millions of dollars and I have to leave them, I can't do anything with them, I can't take them with me in my graveyard. Allah Almighty says, لِيَزْدَادُ إِثْمَ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ. We give them respite, we give them time, we give them this kind of life, okay? Only what? Not for anything else. Only that they may increase in their sins, okay? وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. In the Day of Judgment, there will be a kind of humiliating punishment for them. That's it, brothers and sisters. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
So let's mention some important tajweed rules. ولا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. The first thing I have to mention is that short vowels must be pronounced as short vowels, okay? Shortly. A, E, U. Long vowels must be pronounced with a longer sound, okay? With an extension. A, E, U. Wa, La. Wa is a short vowel. La is a long vowel. Wa, La. يَحْ سبنا short vowels, okay? So make sure, inshallah, you do not change them, right? If you say, for example, وَلَيَحْسَبَنَّ, the reading, the recitation is wrong and the meaning changes completely. So, the next important point is فَوَاتْ, about the pronunciation of
the letters.
Which letters do you think? Ali Nasir, Hassan, Hussein?
Wow.
Wow, it should be wa, wa, not va. We don't have V in Arabic, okay? In the Quran, we don't have this sound, v, no. Wa, 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 wa.
Dal.
Dal, ha, يحسبن ح ذل الذين كفروا أنما نملي لهم ها خير لأنفسهم ها it's soft one إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما إثما bite your tongue a bit okay إثما like the number three that you say I think إثم so that's important. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَيْنْ ذَابْ عَذَابْ مُهِينْهَا. So these letters are important. Pay attention to them, inshallah. Now, the rules, okay? وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَحْسَبَنَّ نُون مُشَدَّد. So when نُون مُشَدَّد is there, okay, you must just extend the sound a bit. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ extend the sound for two counts, two beats. And also, Ali Nasir, you must produce a
nasal sound.
The sound of noon comes from your nose. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ Look, it comes from your nose. Not from your mouth. N comes from your mouth. But comes from your nose. So the sound is a nasal sound. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا there is a mad, but it's not wajib, since the hamza is in the next word. So the rule says, if the hamza and the alif mad, waw mad, ya mad, a, e, u, if this, one of these letters with hamza, both are in the same word, in one word, the mad must be stretched or extended for six counts, five counts. But if they are separately in two different words, you don't need to stretch it, okay? But it's optional for you. You can stretch it. أنما again نون مشدد نملي لهم خير لأنفسهم تنوين أن sound plus لام if لام appears right after the تنوين merge them خير the نون sound will be merged to the لام okay خير ال لأنفسهم أنفسهم after نون ساكن if you see the فا you hide the sound of نون ساكن nasal sound أنفسهم the letter جيم tells you that you can stop here it's جائز it's okay for you yes Fawad
yes
Hassan
yes
it's optional for you
yes
إنما again نون مشدد نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما again the mad is not wajib yes
they're surprised
yeah إثما if you stop here تنوين فتحة changes to you Alif mad ithman changes to ithma right next one walahum adhabun muhin bun tanween plus mim tanween plus lam tanween plus noon tanween plus waw ya ra you merge okay in case you have one of these letters after the tanween or noon sakin merge them adhabun muhin nasal sound also that's all Let me read once, recite, okay? Now that you know the tajweed rules, recite after me, okay? So brothers and sisters, you as well, inshallah. Ready?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ
وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ
إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما
إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما
At the mat, you can also skip it. ليزدادوا إثما, right? ولهم عذاب مهين.
ولهم عذاب مهين.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Ahsantum, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us till the end of this session. Inshallah, we'll be here with you again. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thanks to IRB English Radio and Sevilla International Schools Network. Thanks to Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir. Inshallah, see you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevilla International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran. And we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajil fa.
Brothers and sisters, previously we have discussed the different constituents of supplication. We mentioned that supplication is made up of three constituents. The first one is the spiritual attraction between the creator and the servant. The second one is the supplicant, and the third one is the Almighty Allah, which is invoked. Now, regarding the second constituent, or the supplicant, we mentioned that the very first factor in the true supplicant is that he must be submissive. A supplicant has to observe these conditions in order to see his supplication be responded to. And the very first condition is submission. The first condition for a supplicant is to recognize his own servitude towards the creator of the universe. Now, the second condition for a genuine supplication, as we mentioned, is to recognize Allah with this attribute of being capable of satisfying whatever he wants to present to him. He must realize that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who will achieve anything, who will get him anything he wants, and there is no impediment and hurdle on the way of his might and his power. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, when asking God to fulfill his needs, says, تَمَدَّحْتَ بِالْغِنَاءِ عَنْ خَلْقِكَ. You have been praised with being not in need of your creatures. وَأَنْتَ أَهْلُ الْغِنَى عَنْهُمْ. And you deserve this attribute. وَنَسَبْتَهُمْ إِلَى الْفَقْرِ وَهُمْ أَهْلُ الْفَقْرِ إِلَيْكَ. فَمَنْ حَاوَلَ سَدَّ خِلَّتِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ وَرَامَ صَرْفَ الْفَقْرِ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ بِكَ فَقَدْ طَلَبَ حَاجَتَهُ فِي مَظَانِّهَا وَأَتَى طِلْبَتَهُ مِنْ وَجْهِهَا. You have considered your creatures as needy, and they are so in need to you. Whoever tries to cure his defect by resorting to you and deprive poverty away from himself and drive poverty away from himself by your richness, surely he has chosen the right way. He is the one who has got his want from its right source. Imam alayhi salam is teaching us. He is trying to make us understand the fact that the true supplicant is the one who realizes the absolute richness and the state of absolute powerfulness of the Almighty Allah. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam adds, stating that Allah hates for his people to ask other than him, Subhana Rabbi, glory be to Allah. كَيْفَ يَسْأَلُ مُحْتَاجٌ مُحْتَاجَ وَأَنَّا يَرْغَبُ مُعْدِمٌ إِلَى مُعْدِمٌ. How is it possible for a poor one to ask another poor one? How is it possible for a needy one to resort to another needy one? This means they have not realized who the Almighty Allah is. Give him the best that I have ever given to the supplicants.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you.
It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Regarding this second condition of the real supplicant, of a genuine supplicant. I mean, this condition of understanding that Almighty Allah is in absolute state of power. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, سبحان الذي يتوكل كل مؤمن عليه. Glory be to Allah, upon whom every faithful relies. ويضطر كل جاحد إليه. And to whom every unbeliever resorts. ولا يستغني أحد إلا بفضل ما لديه. And whom no one becomes needless except with his favors. In صحيفة السجادية, we read that Imam alayhi salam says, سبحان من قدر بقدرته كل قدرة. Glory be to him who has determined with his power every power. And elsewhere, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, أصبحنا في قبلتك. My Lord, we are under your control. As you can see, dear listeners, our traditions, in fact, the supplications of the infallibles are replete with this concept. As you can see, each and every one of these transmitted supplications specifically, they are replete with the concept of presenting the state of neediness to the kind of Lord which is mentioned and named as the absolute power, the one who can grant anything at any given possibility, and no hurdle is meant to stop him. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, أَصْبَحْنَا فِي قَبْلَتِكَ. My Lord, we are under your control. يَحْوِينَا مُلْكُكَ وَسُلْطَانُكَ. We are possessed by your kingdom, by your rule. And we are submitted to your will. We act according to your orders. We move according to your management. وَنَتَصَرَّفُ عَنْ أَمْرِكَ وَنَتَقَلَّبُ فِي تَدْبِيرِكَ. We have no choice except what you have determined. We have no goodness except what you have given. وَلَيْسَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ إِلَّا مَا قَضَيْتَ وَلَا مِنَ الْخَيْرِ إِلَّا مَا أَعْطَيْتَ. This is the kind of powerful God. So the supplicant, if he wants his supplication to be responded to, he must realize his state of iltirar. He must always be in this state, and he must realize the kind of Almighty Allah he must be connected to. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim.
you ask her, why does she dress that way? All covered up in a world that gives it all away. Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, who is in this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about Khums, or some of the jurisprudential laws around it, based on fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, somebody asked this question. I bought a car several years ago, and at the present time, it might sell for a price several times more than what it is purchased for. As khums was not paid on the money spent to buy it, and I am planning to buy with its proceeds a house to live in. Does khums apply to the entire amount once I receive it, or does it apply only to the money that I paid to buy the car, while the balance